one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Hello, and this is the What Are You Reading comic book show. We are back after a couple weeks off. It wasn't my fault. Certain people didn't want to show up for work, and so that's neither here nor there. We're back to the grind, dedicating our time and effort and money to putting on an entertaining show for you. The show we call the What Are You Reading comic book show. I'm the man they call the surfer. I'm a big comic book fan. Been reading since the age of 10. I don't know if you knew that or not. Well, I've read comic books longer than that, but I started collecting at 10 when I came across the comic book store. And it lit up. And it called for me. Called my name out. And I went in there, and it was Christmas early. And I've been going back ever since. Not to that particular store, but to, you know, different stores. Anyway, so we're going to talk some comic book news, and maybe better than that, we'll take your phone calls and just have a conversation about comic books. Because that's what I really like to do with this show. The news is just filler. The purpose of this show is to talk comic books with you, the people. And joining me on the line, you love him, you hate him. You can't make up your mind if you want him or not. Jordan Cobb.
Yes, I know I am. Thank you. Yes!
You had to mess things up. You had to mess things up.
No, I made things glorious is what I did with that awesome fucking Bobby Roode thing. That's what I did. I'm glorious. This show is. You are. Okay, maybe. Hey, chat room's glorious. Okay, maybe some people in the chat room. But, yeah, I'm doing great. Sorry, I've been waiting to do that whole setup for a while, and today I just thought, screw it. I'm doing it. I mean, it's our first show back after the big SummerSlam weekend, you know? I don't know if you noticed it, but SummerSlam is apparently the biggest party of the summer.
Did you enjoy SummerSlam?
No, I did not.
Oh, well, why not?
I enjoyed some part. It's too fucking long, man. All right? I mean, I liked some things about SummerSlam. It was good, but as usual, NXT just kind of did it better than
I before. And that's all the rest of it. I kind of understand the length of it because it used to be, you talk wrestling real quick. It used to be the standard pay-per-view was 2 hours, and then, like, the bigger ones were 3.
Well, that, yeah.
And then they all became 3.
Yeah, and
then
two and a half,
they were indistinguishable. Plus, you get 3 hours on Raw every week.
Well, the pay-per-views go about 2.5 to 3 hours with, okay, see, here's the thing. I know SummerSlam from having grown up and still being a wrestling fan. I know SummerSlam's a big goddamn deal. It really is. So I understand wanting to make like a big thing out of it. But here's the thing. WrestleMania to me kind of deserves 4 hours. SummerSlam.
WrestleMania got 5 hours this year.
Okay, I'm trying to make a point. SummerSlam doesn't need to be WrestleMania length. I'm just going to put it out there. No matter how stacked the card is, it doesn't quite, to me, need to be WrestleMania length.
Plus, you got to remember, now with the brand split, you're going to have to fit wrestlers from both shows and try to do an equal job.
Brand exclusive pay-per-views are coming back.
Right, so. And they'll be shorter. But when you putting the brands together, they're probably going to be longer pay-per-views. And you get about 4 of those a year, so. And then you get 4 each brand, so.
Yeah, jeez. I just hope WWE doesn't really try and go through 2 pay-per-views a month, 1 for each, because... Hey, I got shit to do. So, sorry, WWE. Hey, I like wrestling and all, but, you know, I got shit to do in my normal life.
So how else have you been?
I've been pretty good. Just doing my usual thing. Working out some ideas. Writing on the side for Don't Hate the Geek. And, you know, begging people to give me a regular standard job. That'd be great. Also reading comics. Been reading comics. Yeah. So. I got new glasses.
You know what? I gotta get a pair of glasses. I think I gotta get a pair. I'm not sure. I could... I'm starting to have trouble reading the small print.
Uh-huh.
And then go get my eyes checked out. Just as long as I'm not going blind. Because if I lost my sight, then I'm just going to be a miserable old
grump.
I'm going to be a stink meaner at that point. So... I'm just going to be mean to everybody. No, I'm not going to be mean. That's not my nature.
I'm like, I can't ever see anything again. This is bullshit. Although, upside, maybe if I go blind, if I get, like, Daredevil's, like, sort of radar sense, that'd be cool. I'm fine with that. If that happens, like, that's a possibility of me going blind. Sure, I'll let the dark coming darkness take me. But if not,
or I can earthbend, like Tar from Avatar.
That is true. Okay, if there's a distinct chance I can be either like Daredevil or Tar, then yeah, sure. But otherwise, give me some goddamn cataracts, or.
Speaking of Avatar.
Yeah.
So they rerun in both series. So I set the DVR.
On Nickelodeon.
Right. So I set the DVR so I can rewatch them. And Korra was much better series. And the original Avatar is great, but Korra was much better cuz it was a tighter story and it got more into
mythology.
Well, I mean, like the Avatar, the original series was about him becoming the Avatar, and Korra was about her actually being the Avatar.
Yeah.
So it's a different dynamic.
Oh, by the way, you can hear me, right? Like I'm coming.
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, good. Just checking. Got that mic check. I actually, you know, I haven't had, ever since Korra ended, I haven't sat down and really thought about it. I never really had a conversation with anyone I know that's seen the show. It's like, what'd you like better? I gotta think on that. I mean, I love both shows. They're incredible.
Well, I think they ironed out the bugs on that second show. And, you know, having a shorter season, they didn't have to have a lot of filler episodes.
Yeah, true. I mean, here's a big compliment I can give to Avatar: The Last Airbender is that I can't say I have a worst episode. At best, the lesser quality episodes were just like, they were okay. Because, yeah, I wish it was a bit shorter, but man, you're always so hooked into that mythology. It just like grabbed you and it really took you along a journey.
And then like the core series, those end episodes, they were very impactful and emotional. Like,
oh man, I remember I got together with some friends just being like, okay, I know this is impromptu, but who wants to come over and watch the fucking core finale? I'm like, I'm in. And we were an emotional wreck.
Bear in mind, like they really hit a home run with those final episodes of each season.
Oh yeah, no, the final season was.
Now I'm not talking about the season. I'm talking about the episodes for each season.
Well, like, no, they, I agree. The season finales on Korra were absolutely fantastic. Stupid coaster.
But enough talking to me. Tell the people how they can join us.
Yeah. That's good beer. All right, people. There are numerous ways in which you can join us. That's the fun about the What Are You Reading comic book show. You get to come. You get to talk to us. Because we're friendly. And we like meeting new people, being friendly, getting over social anxiety and all that. Crippling depression. The emptiness of life. So, here's how you can join. Skype. Yeah, Skype's pretty much just, that's the main way to join us. Skype. SilverSurfer_forever. That is the Skype contact. And it's all lowercase to help your search. Add that contact and call on in whenever it's, free for you to call and join us. And, talk some comics, shoot the shit, all that good stuff. The Listen Live chat room, www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live, is where you can listen to us live and on the air and talk with us in the Listen Live chat room. Right now there's me, Stanley Kubrick, and some other people. Just random listeners, not logged in. But hey, we're there. Join us. Again, www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live. But if you can't listen to us live, just go to, on the chat room. After this episode, this specific episode today ends, it will be replayed on a loop until our new episode airs next Sunday, like when we go live. Same format for pretty much every show on here and such. And, maybe every once in a while you'll hear something random in between. But if you can't listen that way, I understand. You want to listen at your own time on any damn device you want and anywhere you want because, the world's a busy place. We got to hustle and bustle. I'm busy. You're busy. We got to... we've got to make life happen. All right, I get you. Here's a few options. Listen to me. TuneIn app. Download the TuneIn app today on your PlayStation 4, your Xbox One, your tablet, mobile device, Android, and iOS. You get Rant EM Radio going with you anywhere, anytime. You're going to be thankful for that. There's also Stitcher Internet Radio, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, and of course, the almighty iTunes. Open up iTunes today and search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio in the podcasting section. And while you're there subscribing, rate us 5 stars, leave a review, it'll be helpful. If you want to stay updated with the news that we will talk about, go to the Facebook page for the Where You're Reading comic book show at, Facebook, I don't know where I was going with that. Our Facebook page is updated on the daily with the news items we will be talking about on this show, as well as you can talk to me or Surfer, ask us a question, or just want to talk about like some comics and whatnot. Sure, we'll respond. No problem. And we are also on the Twitter, if you like that sort of thing. I am at Jowoco, J-O-W-O-C-O, Surfer, where are you on Twitter?
My Twitter handle is SilverSurfer4, F-O-R. If you want to be kept up to date to the comic book news out there, because it's also tied into our Facebook page, the Woody Reading Comic Book Show. You can like us on Facebook, and we keep you up to date to the different news articles of the week.
And that's all the bills that I just paid. All right, cool.
You paid your bills. I haven't paid my bills yet.
I paid my bills right now. You pay your bills at the end of the show.
I'm going to give you some box office numbers.
Yeah, tell me about them movies.
Well, Suicide Squad, which was number one for 3 weeks in a row, even though there's a mixed feeling about the movie, dropped to number two this week. It's brought in $12 million. Its domestic haul is $282 million, with a budget of $175 million. Now, I don't know if you consider it a hit or a failure in a way, because, okay, yeah, it's behind what Batman v Superman has done, but it's surpassed what Guardians of the Galaxy did 2 years ago. So if you consider Guardians a hit, why wouldn't Suicide Squad be a hit? You know, every movie can't crack a billion. Kubo and the Two Strings, which still haven't seen yet, brought in $7.9 million for third place. Animated stop motion feature, it's up to $24 million, but its budget is $60 million. And stop motion animation films rarely do get their money back. But every once in a while, they still get released. Fourth place is Sausage Party, the adult animated feature that you can't take your kiddies to see. Added another $7.6 million, it's up to $80 million. It only had a budget of $19 million, so that's a hit for Seth Rogen, even though there's controversies behind stories on that movie. We won't get into that here, but
that's not our place.
Well, if I had saw the story myself, then I wouldn't mind reading it on air, but since I'm only going by hearsay, I don't know what's true.
Well,
not
yeah,
true.
That too, and I did read up on it, and having been involved in something that did involve some animation, I will say, give some goddamn respect to the people doing that, because they're working their ass off, and having done it myself as well. Same statement as before. Just saying. Alright, yeah, that's it.
Last movie, Peach Dragon, came in sixth place, added $7.2 million. It's up to $54 million. Domestic cost was $65 million. It's not
good.
A total failure. If you add in the worldwide total, it's up to $76 million. You know, just it's just one of those films that just came in at the wrong time, and it wasn't like people was clamoring for a Peach Dragon live-action film. But it's not doing bad, so...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Also, regarding like what you said about Suicide Squad, dude, I'd be pretty stoked if a movie like any of the things I made a goddamn dollar.
But worldwide, that's up to $635 million.
It's making its money back. So at least in that. In that terms, it should be a success for one of those.
But
it's not an overall success.
Now, the question I was about to ask is, will it affect the next DC movie or not? Because if people walked out of Suicide Squad not too happy with it, do they then not go see the next DC movie, which I believe is Wonder Woman?
No, it is Wonder Woman, and of course we did talk about on our last regular show that letter by that former Warner Bros. Employee.
Yeah, it said he was fucking up.
Yeah, apparently the inside word being like, yeah, from what I've heard, Wonder Woman's gonna fuck it up too.
They saying I remember seeing the article, so they said they think Wonder Woman's a bad movie. They think
the guy
just going to do
the,
bad.
No, the guy that wrote the letter, he still has friends that are working within Warner Brothers.
Right, okay.
And he said, like, and from all accounts I heard, Wonder Woman sounds like a mess as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was well, more, yeah.
I don't know if it was the right thing for them to change which war she was involved in. I mean, she was a World War II character. And, you know, fighting in World War One, yeah, in World War One, we fought Germans, but they weren't Nazis. And it wasn't like...
Yeah, they didn't level up then.
If you look at World War One, it wasn't like one side was evil and the other side had to stop them. It was just dumb shit went down between two countries, and then their allies got involved.
Oh, Lord, I just wanted to make a stupid video game joke. But, yeah, it kind of seems like that story has slightly died down. I mean, people are still talking about this letter. They really are. At least I've seen it around on the interwebs. But, yeah, who knows? Again, Wonder Woman is going to be, like, a big goddamn deal. Not just because it's the Wonder Woman movie, the theatrical Wonder Woman movie, but also this has got to help, like, put DC, to hell back up.
Let's see what kind of marketing they do. That's going to be important.
Oh,
because this is true. One of your big three. You can't have a solo movie with one of your big threes fail. Especially if you want to do the Cyborgs and the Flash and Aquaman.
No, exactly.
If you can't get Wonder Woman over, then that's just going to shy Warner Brothers away from doing these other single movies.
No, I agree.
That's what happened with the animated... And the animated side, like, you know, they put out the Batman and the Superman, but then when they started putting out Green Lantern and Wonder Woman, because it didn't get the numbers they thought it should get, they're like, oh, we're just going to stick to Batman, Superman, and Justice League.
Which is a damn shame, considering, actually, that Wonder Woman and Green Lantern animated movie, those are pretty goddamn good.
Yeah, yeah.
And it could have, like, very much expanded the whole DC universe to be done in that way. Like, I know we're getting a Justice League Dark movie, but yeah, there's still Batman in there, even though he's more of the audience avatar to be introduced to this whole new side of DC.
Well, that's the thing. They should be able to, they want to do Justice League Dark, he should be able to stand on his own.
Yeah.
Like, when they did the Suicide Squad animated film.
Exactly.
You know, that was really a backdoor Batman film.
Yeah. And in the
end, it came down to Batman saving the day.
That's true. And hey, since you brought up Justice League Dark, that'll lead us to our first story. So, Doug Liman was going to direct the Gambit movie. The Gambit movie, still, believe it or not, it's in development hell, but it's still in development.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out this year, around this time.
Yeah, no, October 7th, my girlfriend's birthday, and Gambit happened.
No, originally they was planning it for August release, and then they moved it to October, and then...
Okay, all I know is that Gambit is my girlfriend's favorite X-Men character, and it was going to come out on her birthday, and I had this great fucking birthday date romantic thing planned, and then 20th Century Fox fucked me over on that, so they can eat a dick. But that's just me.
But the thing is, the Gambit movie, the only thing the Gambit movie had going for it was it had Channing Tatum. Now, he can bring people to the theater, but that doesn't mean he can do the character correctly. And that doesn't mean that people are going to care about that particular character. Like, when Gambit was introduced, you know, back in the day, he seemed like a pretty cool character. But
I honestly still really like the character.
But now it's like he's fallen so far back. it was like you couldn't imagine the X-Men without Gambit on the team.
True.
And it's now, you don't really care where he's at.
Yeah.
They use him sometimes, and they don't use him.
That was an effect of the 90s animated series. But, hey, again, this is Doug Liman. He was going to direct Gambit. I said was, because he dropped the hell out. Why did he drop out? He's going to do the Justice League Dark movie. Oh, but Jordan, you handsome son of a bitch, you say. They're doing an animated Justice League Dark movie that's going to be on home video later this fall. And to you, I say, thank you for the handsome compliment. It's true. But, yeah, they're still talking about a live-action one.
I can't believe Jordan has lost it that much in the 2 weeks that we've been off. Anyway, no, okay. So Doug Liman's doing Justice League Dark live-action, which...
Yeah.
I really don't think it's going to work.
Well, here's
not because they won't do a good movie. It's just that by the time that comes out, it could be such a bad taste in everyone's mouth that nobody will trust it. It took a lot. Listen, it took a lot of build up and a lot of goodwill from Marvel to put out Guardians. By the time Guardians came out, everybody knew Marvel had a track record.
And they,
could put out a decent film. Whether you think it's great.
They were willing to give something as strange as Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm saying Guardians was what, like the eighth or ninth film they came out with, right? Okay, so.
Somewhere along that line.
You had like two or three Iron Mans at that point. Couple of Avengers, I think. I don't know if Avengers...
Ultron came after.
Okay, came after. Guardians. But still, they had built up enough credit and enough, trust that it made people say, okay, I'm going to give this a chance. And then once word of mouth got out, this film is great. It's funny. It's you know, you got to see it. It caught on.
Yeah,
good job marketing.
That's the complete opposite of DC Comics right now. Go ahead.
It also helped Ant-Man do well because by the time that came out, every year when they come out with a new franchise for Marvel, it's that question: is this going to be the one that fails? And so this year is going to be Doctor Strange.
Plenty of people still thinking that thought. Like, what is this?
Built up enough with their fans that they're gonna give it a chance. So that initial rush to the theater that first weekend is gonna help their movies until they prove they can't put out a good movie. Till somebody fails and fucks up.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, but apparently Justice League Dark live action, it's still gonna happen. Now this has also been
Del Toro wanted to do that film.
Yeah, this has also been a development hell. Apparently, Liman will also produce the movie alongside Scott Rudin and Guillermo del Toro.
Well, you got to introduce a bunch of characters that the general public won't know, and you gotta make sure we know who they are and that we care about them and that the reason that they're together make sense.
Yeah, like Zatanna, John Constantine. Okay, Constantine you may have a bit easier time with given the TV show.
And the movie. There's already been a Constantine movie.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. Like the recent TV show, the appearance on Arrow, and the Keanu Reeves movie. But characters like Zatanna and Deadman, and Etrigan the Demon, and even Frankenstein, if they use him like they did in the comics. DC's version of Madame Xanadu, the Enchantress. Okay, Suicide Squad. Fuck, where was I going? And, Black Orchid, and introducing the House of Mystery, the Sentient House.
And Swamp Thing gonna be involved?
He is in the anime movie as well.
Well, yes, he's in the anime movie, but
yeah. Well, he was also part of the team in the comics. Heels brought it.
Now,
yeah,
so, this wouldn't be the first time Swamp Thing is in a movie.
That is true, but think about how long ago that movie was.
And this is when they couldn't make it look real. And,
yeah, like, and again, it's been like 20 plus years since those Swamp Thing movies.
I know, man. And, it kind of ruined Adrian Barbeau's career.
Yeah, and live action TV show. Yeah. So again, Swamp Thing could be done, but again, it has been done, but he's been like gone from the public eye in that sense for so long. You still kind of gotta do a reintroduction in that way. I mean, I'm looking forward to the animated movie. I think it'll be fun. Can't wait to review it. But I'm still cautious about a live action movie. Because, you gotta get the absolute right characters in there. The absolute best representation of DC's magical and fantastic, you know, fantasy side. also tell a compelling story.
Speaking of DC.
Yeah, no, we will have to see. But now, the other question is, where the hell does Gambit go from here? This movie seems like Gambit.
Well,
destined to probably not happen.
Well, now, Channing Tatum he's kind of committed to doing it. And as long as he's on board, it will stay alive.
With Simon Kinberg as well.
Now, you know, the thing is, Channing Tatum, he is working, so it's not like he can, not like he need that particular movie to. And so you gotta squeeze in the right time that he's available, and you know whatever director you're gonna use, and you gotta have the right director and the right writers. And we are talking Fox, so it's hit and miss with them.
That is also true. And again, Simon Kinberg, you know, Kevin Feige, if I were to associate that with him, because he's been involved in almost damn near all of them. Yeah, I think he at least will have some clout trying to make that happen as well. But again, this Doug Liman's now associated with two projects that can't seem to get off the damn ground. That's a bit of a... Yeah, I mean... Does he like that sort of thing? Like, I guess it'd be like... Okay, I guess he likes a challenge. Or something like that. I like a challenge, that's fine. But... I know what it takes to go into making a movie. Be it like a feature or a short one.
Again, you're still thinking you're a film
it's
director.
Something it's that so goddamn hard. Like I'm okay, really? Yeah, okay. I fucking heard you, Surfer.
I don't know what you're talking about. Continue.
Okay. Yeah, and yes, the movie making process is known by everyone, and everyone knows how hard it takes, but yeah, it is a tremendous process. Okay. I guess now the real question is, which comes out first? Justice League Dark or Gambit?
I don't know. I really don't care. I just want... If they both going to come out, fine. Just give me entertaining movies to go see and review and enjoy myself.
I agree, but that...
It's
but
not a race. To me, I don't care about a race or who comes out first and which one's better. I just want them both to be good. And both to be enjoyable.
No, I fully agree with that sentiment. But that's the question on everybody's mind right now. And I was also thinking that might be a fun question to ask the chat room. But since we just have Stanley, I imagine his penis will be part of this answer. But, yeah, who knows? It's a mess. And speaking of a mess... How about Gotham?
No, wait. I wanted to talk about something else in DC.
Fine.
We can get to Gotham in a second. You know, once in a while, things are dropped on the internet. And brings that nostalgia feeling. And so, you know, one of the popular books out there, of course, is Batman 66. And it's based off the Adam West version of Batman. Of the Batman from the 60s TV show. And it looks like them, the characters are like them, and it's goofy and campy. Well, now they're doing an animated feature, not 66, but it's Batman Return of Bruce Wayne, I mean, the Return of the Cape Crusaders. And it's voiced by the Batman of the TV show, Adam West and Burt Ward, reprising their roles as Batman and Robin. And, you know, it's the standard villains, Penguin, Riddler, Joker, Catwoman. You excited for it?
Yeah, I saw the trailer. I'm really looking forward to it.
And it's making its debut at Comic-Con.
New York Comic-Con, yeah.
Yes, so that'll be in October. And then it'll be out, I guess, a week or two after that.
Yeah, standard schedule, you know, standard as usual. excuse me. I am looking forward to it. I do enjoy the 60s Batman show. Like, I like that. I love the Batman 66 book. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. It was great. While the 60s Batman isn't exactly my cup of tea when it comes to what I like about the character, I can still honestly enjoy it for what it is. And it was translated perfectly into the comic book, which read like those old Silver Age type sillier comics and such. And what I got from the trailer for this animated movie, and it's going to translate that great as well, because you also failed to mention Julie Newmar is going to be voicing Catwoman.
Yeah, Julie Newmar.
Yes.
Who, I'm trying to find one of the Catwomen back in the day.
Yeah. Trying to find
it's
out.
It's too bad Yvonne Craig is not around to voice Batgirl.
Yes.
But she passed away, so.
Passed away last year. Yes. Had to remind me of that.
Yeah, Adam West, I don't know, doing voice work has kept him alive all these years, it seems like.
Yeah,
that motherfucker is not nice at conventions, so fuck him.
Wait, what?
He's not nice at conventions.
Really? I never heard that.
Well, I'm not saying that he tells people to fuck off, but, okay, so he's Adam West, and he's there signing autographs.
Yeah.
And so you pay him for his autograph, that's fine. The first thing you see is signs, you can't take pictures.
Okay.
Like he want to get paid, no if you just snap a picture of him. That, my friend, is bullshit.
The only other cast member of this movie I have found is Wally Wingert, who voices the Riddler. And he's done the voice of the Riddler in the Batman Arkham game.
Yeah, well, the rest of the voices would be standard voice actors, you know. I mean, it's not like...
Yeah, no, I expect...
They're not using Mark Hamill as the Joker.
Probably, so. Yeah. We'll probably see Troy Baker, Nolan North.
Well, they think they're going to sound like, the 60s counterparts? Or they're going to sound more what you normally get in a...
Well,
Batman cartoon.
Wingert, I think, the way he voiced Riddler in the Arkham games, I think he can actually...
He can recreate Frank Gorshin?
Yeah, I really do think he can from the way, like, he was a bit of a scare. He was a bit of a more serious version of the Riddler, but there was a campiness.
And then, I don't think it's too hard to do Burgess Meredith.
No, not at all. Although, I think it would be hilarious, like, speaking of the Arkham games, if Nolan North's cockney-as-hell Penguin voice was coming out of Burgess Meredith Penguin. Maybe that's just me, but I'd find that funny as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'm the only one. Who knows? But that's all the news we got on that. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I really like what I see. It looks like a lot of fun. Hell, maybe we'll get a sequel. They can do Liberace's villainous character.
That's not going too crazy now.
I want that, damn it. You can. You will not deny me that.
And who's next? Egghead?
We can resurrect Vincent Price for that, right?
No.
Can we just resurrect Vincent Price completely?
You going to do King Tut?
How about False Face or the Bookworm?
False Face was a stand-in for Two-Face.
Two-Face was deemed a bit too scary, and there was a I do remember this. There was a script for the original series of a Two-Face episode written by I hope I don't screw this up. I think it was Harlan Ellis. I'm looking it up right now, but I do remember it was going to be Two-Face. They were thinking of a young Clint Eastwood.
I heard that.
Yeah, to do that. And I did, and it was adapted. The script was found by Lin Nguyen, and it was made like an 80-page one-shot comic. And I read it. It was really good. I liked it. It was still very much in the same vein as the comic book. It was drawn by Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. And yeah, it was Harlan Ellison. Now, I got that right.
You wanted to get to your favorite show, Gotham, so.
Oh, God. Remind me again whenever I meet you in person for the first time to kick you in the balls for this shit.
My balls are made of steel, so don't even think it.
I'll wear steel tip boots.
You'll still dent your toe on my balls.
Anyway, Gotham. Oh boy, bet you can't wait for my season 3 reviews, huh, audience? Hey, Stanley Kubrick, you'll get your fucking hissy fit now, so you can, get off on that. You pervert. Jerome's coming back.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Wait, that was on last week's show?
I know we discussed that Jerome was coming back.
Oh, well, all right. Screw that. Moving on. That's terrible news. But.
Because we discussed how somebody supposed to be dead is coming back. They have established that they know how to reanimate people, so.
Right, and Hugo Strange's equipment for resurrection.
Right, even though Hugo Strange is.
It got wrecked.
Locked up.
Yeah, and again, his equipment got wrecked. Okay. This is more... Okay, so the Gotham showrunner doesn't think superheroes work well on TV, apparently.
Yeah, good way to think when you're doing a show based on a superhero character.
Yeah, most likely no superhero. What the fuck, Bruno Heller? He was talking at the Edinburgh Television Festival. Of course, in beautiful Edinburgh, California. No, it was Scotland, you idiot. Come on, you really think... Is there an Edinburgh, California? You know what? I don't care. He said, I don't think superheroes work very well on TV. Probably because of the costume thing. And he goes on to say over things like, since we got shows like Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, Daredevil, et cetera, being like, TV is about real people and faces, and not so much about magic and the supernatural things. And he also talked about the Poison Ivy thing, where she's going from a kid to an adult after an encounter with a monster, saying, Gotham has to be both a crime procedural and a mythic, epic, grand comic book saga. It's a tricky combination because you have to keep it real and unreal at the same time.
Well, okay, then what? It is the... We talk about how Gotham makes the wrong decisions, and it's not... The show's not... I always say the show's not terrible, but they make some of the wrong decisions. And one of the wrong decisions is... squeezing in Batman villains when Batman's not around.
Yeah, and as I've said, like, by the time Bruce Wayne on that show becomes Batman, half his rogues guy are going to be on AARP. This describes perfectly why Gotham is a train wreck. There is no tonal consistency. It doesn't know what the hell it wants to be. And going
and,
on.
And I still haven't seen where Bruce Wayne is making that journey into becoming Batman. If we ever read Batman origin stories, he's dedicated from day one.
Yeah.
To the whole justice thing. At this point in his age, he's learned how to be a good detective. And he's, you know, he comes across people that teach him how to like to escape being tied up in locks and how to pick things.
Well,
and this is before he goes off to learn how to fight. He learns a lot of stuff that he uses in his crime fighting, you know, his abilities to fight crime.
And Surfer, you mentioned that you do have the problem with like how, you know, we're getting so many Batman villains. That was brought up. That was brought up.
What did he say?
Yeah, he said, what we are trying to do is always give little Easter eggs, little gifts every episode to the real...
You're not giving me a gift.
Whatever. But you don't need to know more than the basic Batman myth.
I don't need... see this guy here? He's one day going to be Clayface. I don't need that.
Neither do I. And also, Mr. Heller.
I needed two detectives, right? Maybe they don't totally get along, but in the end they got each other's back. You got one guy that doesn't waver as far as his beliefs in right and wrong, and that he doesn't do crimes and kill people, and he's navigating taking on a corrupt city, a somewhat corrupt police force, and the mob, and trying to stay above water. That is interesting enough, you know. And he's solving crimes, like a nice little police procedural.
Yeah,
you know, Bullock is there helping him, but then sometimes Bullock may do the wrong thing, and he has to be brought back to the right thing by Gordon.
He's got a fuck up to learn.
Gordon, how's he going to go from not being a cop, which he's not right now, to commissioner? Like when the show started, and he comes in, and he's this new cop, and the whole force is corrupt, and he's partnered with Bullock, and Bullock's like, look, you got to get with the program if you want to survive. And he's like, look, that's not me. I'd rather take my chances. I want to do what's right. And it was working.
And here's the thing. The quote, but you don't need to know more than the basic Batman myth. Okay, that might be a little bit true. I mean, yeah, we know the mythology, but here's the thing. That's what's great about mythology, not just if you're adapting.
The penguin working his way up the ladder.
That makes sense.
But him being where every other episode, he's forcing Gordon to do something Gordon doesn't want to do. And, you know, they're constantly interacting with each other. And even like this season with the whole somebody wanting to take out Bruce Wayne, and, you know, Theo Gallivant is trying to plan, you know, the murder of Bruce Wayne and take over a Wayne Enterprises. Yeah, that was a good
Gotham, baby.
Huh?
Take back Gotham, baby.
That storyline was cool, but then, you know, ended halfway through, and then it got into, you know, they was more worried about the rise of villains, so they throwing in the Batman villain of the week or the pre-Batman villain of the week. So, I don't want to get into this conversation with you no more. You know it's your favorite show.
No, it's not. Okay, can you drop that joke? I'm just kidding.
It's not a joke.
I'm getting sick of it. But here's the thing. Here's the thing I would say about mythology. Yes, we know the basic mythology. We know what. But the cool thing about mythology, be it you adapting a superhero comic book or working off a urban folklore and such and all that, is that how you can use it, how you can twist it a bit, change it up, and make something new out of it. which is what one of the hopes I had for Gotham, because that's the great thing about Batman, is that there are so many great different interpretations you can mix and match and even make a new one out of that. You can do something like that. But, again, the show is incapable of doing that. I mean, again, some things work. Again, the Penguin is the absolute best thing on here. But it's just not working. It doesn't know what it wants to be or how it wants to go about things. Get ready. Yeah, fuck this show.
What is this? Print your own Transformers Matrix of 3D print your own Transformers Matrix of Leadership. I gotta give you a 3D printer.
Wait, what?
A 3D printer.
I
just saw an article that shows you how you can print a Transformers Matrix of Leadership item.
Oh, okay. That sounds cool. Explain that.
Better than printing a gun.
Badum-tis.
Okay. Breaking Bad's guard Carlino Esposito was offered a Marvel TV role. Oh, that would have been cool.
What? Really? Shit, man. That's awesome. What?
It says,
What was he offered?
It doesn't say. It just said that he turned it down because he knew the character would never appear in a Marvel movie. And I guess he'd rather be in a Marvel movie. Which makes sense.
Yeah, fatter check.
Yeah, I mean, that Marvel do drop the ball with this not wanting to have any characters cross over from movies to TV. I mean, what's wrong with somebody from the Netflix show showing up in as a cameo in one of the feature films or vice versa?
I really don't know. That's the thing. I know. I wish Marvel would. Yeah, I know Marvel's been outright, but I wish they'd be a little bit more clear. It's like we don't want them doing that. Oh, unless it's network where you can get ratings and
maybe Hawkeye's on trial, and the only people that can take his case is Murdoch and Nelson, and then you get an episode where. Hawkeye is on Daredevil going to court and getting off or whatever. That's what the people want to see. What else you got for me? Hello? Oh, I lost Jordan. Oh, yeah, he had to step off. So what should we talk about? Should we talk about Jordan?
And Mondo's I'm back.
Shit, I was gonna talk about you behind your back. But anyway,
like you do all the time. Well, you talked about Marvel TV. Why don't we stick to talking about Marvel TV? As we all know, the recent season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because mm-hmm. of your feelings on that, had set up Mockingbird, Bobby Morris, and Lance Hunter for their own spinoff. Marvel's Most Wanted. Yeah, Marvel's Most Wanted. It was getting set. It was going into production. Pilot's been filmed.
Well, actually, it was. They were going to do it, and then they weren't going to do it, and then they said they were going to do it, and they did the setup for it.
Yeah.
By having them leave the show midway through.
Yes.
Where they're saying, oh, well, they can't be S.H.I.E.L.D. agents no more, and they took the bullet for us.
Yeah, and they filmed the pilot. It's been filmed. And then ABC saw it and was like, yeah, we're definitely going to pass on this. So now...
Well, ABC as a network, they're not committed to superhero stuff.
Well, aside from, I guess, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that's not even really superhero-esque. Well, it is, but sort of... It's an in-between superheroes and espionage.
I mean, because they was talking about doing a Hulk TV show. What happened to that?
Died. But here's the thing. A petition's been created on, of course, change.org, saying, please air Marvel's most wanted TV pilot for fans, and already has about 660 signatures.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
Yeah, also let's also remember Change.org petitions. These have been abused. This has been abused for some dumb shit.
What's
going to
happen? Either they may decide to show it at some cons, or it'll get leaked, and it'll be on bootleg. Like a lot of other pilots that were film but didn't become TV shows.
Like
Aquaman and
Lock and Key.
Yeah, well, no, Lock and Key wasn't bootlegged. It was shown at cons.
Yeah, I know it was shown at cons. That's why you said that as well, like shown at cons.
And then, of course, they released the Aquaman trailer with one of the seasons of Smallville.
Yes.
So they put it out legit, and who knows? Maybe Marvel might do something like that, release it on disc with something else.
The season free DVD Blu-ray release by Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
That would seem plausible.
But I think that'd be a pretty good idea for them to do it. They want to get into it, but they don't really want to go wholehearted into the superhero stuff. That's why you're getting, like, they're still doing Damage Control, right?
Yeah, that's still happening.
Because they think that'll appeal to the average person, where it's not about the superheroes, but it's about some pencil pushers in an office-like settlement that just happens to be in a world where the heroes and the villains fuck things up, and their job is to fix everything. And then the NBC's the show with that they're about to come out this fall.
Yep.
What's the name of it?
Cloak and Dagger.
No, not Cloak and Dagger. The one where it's about the insurance company.
Oh, Powerless.
Yeah, Powerless. Yes.
Yeah, that's all.
And we'll see what kind of legs that have, especially since it's NBC. And NBC,
although the showrunner did, as we reported on a couple weeks ago, did leave due to creative differences.
Right. NBC has a history of not giving shows a chance after the first season. Like, if they don't get the instant numbers, they won't try. Maybe, you know, a second season it'll come up. They just, you know, pull the plug on it. Or they'll, you know, even worse, they'll pull the plug. And, like, you know, the show could have, like, 13-episode order, which is kind of standard at this point, like, until they decide, okay, you can give us the rest of the season. But then they may decide, like, halfway through, we're going to cut the order down to 10. So if you've seen 5 episodes, instead of getting the rest of the 8, you only get another 5. And then when the show ends, it doesn't make a lot of sense because it's this episode's missing. Anyway.
Moving along with Marvel Television, we got Legion coming up with FX. That's been talked about. And apparently, some people have been wondering if that'll even be, Legion is an X-Men character and it's an X-property over at Marvel. Will it be connected to the X-Men films? Well, also at the Edinburgh Television Festival, man, thank you, Edinburgh. You're giving us, like, great material. Singer said, quote, part of the X-Men universe, Legion, part of the X-Men universe. But when you watched it, you wouldn't have to label it. It could exist completely on its own. Also saying that Legion and other planned X-Men series will relate to future X-Men movies with a really ambitious and fun and very unique storyline.
I still haven't figured out why Legion of all characters.
Well, given the character of Legion, I think there is something you can. I think there's something you can definitely.
Because he imitates a lot of people's powers, right?
Yeah. He's got schizophrenia. All that, and of course the ability to adapt multiple powers. Yeah, again, I think from the psychological aspect and the character's ailment, there is definitely something there you can make a TV show out of. So, and especially with an actor like Dan Stevens playing Legion, that's fine. That's great. I'm honestly looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that can work. But I think what this more or less seems to say, it's not that Legion isn't connected to the X-Men films right now, but will be later on.
What else you got?
I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
I don't know what to think about Legion at the moment. I mean, they say okay, it could tie into the movies. We'll see if that helps or hurt the show.
Yeah.
Hold on for a second, okay? Just pick a story that.
Of course, I must carry a show once again. I will do so, Surfer.
No, go ahead.
All right. I'll. So. Okay, so we've had this listener that's been getting on to us about the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 teaser. He's the one to ask us about it.
What, you saw it?
No. Yeah. I got a whole thing leading up to this. Here's the thing. We haven't seen it. We don't comment on shit we haven't seen. We don't do that. Okay?
Yeah, you got a link. We'd be happy to check it out.
You're ruining my bed.
I'll okay, be back. Fine. Go ahead and talk to that person while I'll be right back.
It's okay, but this week a trailer did come out for Guardians, but it's not Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Alright, so just as a heads up, do not ask us about the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer or teaser until the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer or teaser are actually fucking released. This Guardians is a Russian superhero movie that is about that. Reads as, during the Cold War, an organization called Patriot created a superhero squad, which includes members of multiple Soviet republics. For years, the heroes had to hide their identities, but in hard times, they must show themselves again. Well, hey, we're giving you Guardians. Wink. The team consists of Lur, who is a telepath that can only move rocks. Khan, a master swordsman that has the power of teleportation. Aris, who can transform into a man bear. And Kinsia, she's basically an invisible woman. She can render herself invisible. I mean, yeah. I watched this trailer. It looks fucking insane, and I kind of want to see it. I'm kind of pumped for this movie. I would think it would be. I think it would be a pretty fun time to watch. Like, get some friends together, crack a few beers.
I'm back. Did you ruin my show?
No, you ruined your show. I make it better.
Okay. We're going to have a meeting afterwards for your attitude.
But yeah, no, this is not Guardians of the Galaxy. It's Guardians. It's a Russian superhero group.
Oh, you're talking about the Russian superheroes?
Yeah, that's what I was leading up to. I was gonna fake it up with Guardians of the Galaxy 2 to go to fucking
Guardians.
Yeah, but you ruined my timing.
Sorry, I was out of the loop.
Ah! No, actually, you saw the trailer, right?
Yes, I watched the trailer. You know, this is not the first trailer I've seen. Like, I saw, the one guy with the sickles. Like, I saw something, I don't know, months ago where he was tearing through some tanks and shit. And they was making a big deal about it. But I didn't know it had to do with, like, a movie where it's a bunch of Russian heroes. You got the bear and all the other stuff. Now, I don't know. Are they talking about releasing it here at some point? Or?
I would love that. I want to see this movie, actually.
Because it would do you dub it or subtitle it?
I can do either. I have no problem reading subtitles in a movie. Honestly, I gotta put on closed captioning and subtitles now.
Closed captioning. You're still hearing what they're saying. So the closed captioning is just, you're not.
Here's the thing, Surfer. I'm, again, as I've said on here, I'm pretty much the on-call babysitter of my nephew, and I don't know when the hell I'm ever going to be watching him. Mm-hmm. And also, my dog is loud as shit with his barking at whenever the hell he feels like it.
But, okay, with closed caption, you don't really read it. You just, it's, the way it works is, you hear what they're saying, but if there's a word that you don't understand what they're saying, then that's where the closed caption comes in, because it spells it out for you.
Well, it's also very helpful.
Right.
But again, I'm just stating, I wouldn't have a problem watching the subtitled version of Guardians.
I get it, but I'm saying, what I'm trying to say is, with a movie like this, and you got to pay close attention to maybe the action, trying to watch the action and read the subtitles may or may not work. Now, you know, they can do a shitty dubbing job, too.
But I like the dub in the trailer.
Didn't hear no dub. I heard Russian.
In the article on the page, there's an English dubbed version.
There's a video that's dubbed?
Yes.
I didn't see it. Okay.
I watched both versions, but yeah, I hope it comes over here to America. This would be fun to watch.
Maybe. You know, Russian films don't do all that well here. I'm still waiting for that third Night Watch movie to come over.
Yeah, keep holding your breath.
Well, you know, they brought up the first two, and like, I remember watching Night Watch and thought it was okay, but I thought the second one made both films better because it gave a little bit more perspective to what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
And then I was expecting that third one to come over, and it never came over.
Yeah.
And then, who's the villains when dealing with the Russians? See, you know, we in America, we don't care about making the Russians the bad guys, you know, because the commies and, you know, the propaganda that they come into change our way of life. So, you know, Hollywood's quick to make a movie where the Russians are the bad guys. But do Russians make a film with superheroes where the Americans are the bad guys? And do that sell?
I'm pretty sure it happens all the time overseas.
Right, but would that sell over here?
Oh, God, no, because we're all rah, 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 America. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Flag, flag. Oh, America. Yeah, cheeseburger. that wouldn't quite. What the hell did I just do?
George W. Bush in the White House.
Rah, 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 America. Hamburger.
Hey. Don't talk about hamburgers.
I love hamburgers. What are you talking about? Anyway. Yeah, no, it wouldn't quite sell us over here, because if there was any place that shows like the most absolute, like strongest patriotism, it's, you're gonna find it over here in the good old U.S. of A. I don't imagine it would, but then again, we got superhero movies with Americans fighting Americans.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we accept American bad guys. Although, if it is in the case, let's flip it. Like, fucking overt, like, okay, we got a Captain Mexico movie, okay?
Captain Mexico?
Yeah.
So what does Captain Mexico do? Stop Donald Trump from building the wall?
That's Well, in my script, he would, definitely. But something like that, I'm not too sure how that might sell over here. but again, I think Guardians might do well over here, because it could gain the superhero fans, also fans of So Bad It's Good, because this looks fucking bonkers as all hell. This movie looks in goddamn sane. And it could, honestly, it would pique curiosity as well, like Russian superheroes. Huh, I wonder how this might go. Let me check this movie out. So it could definitely get some traction over here in a number of ways.
Is there any Russian heroes in the Marvel universe?
That's a good question. Hold on.
Colossus.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There is Colossus, of course.
And I guess his sister, Magic.
Yes. Okay, we got. Okay, hold on. List of Russian superheroes.
I mean, everybody else is kind of like, you know, the bad guys, like
Natasha Romanoff, Black Widow.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Black Widow, Dynamo, Darkstar, Gremlin.
But they all. The thing is, they all work for the U.S. of A. It's not like the. You know,
Raven.
The Russian heroes working for the Russian government or the Russian people, like Colossus. He hasn't been in Russia since he was like a youth. Like he probably don't even remember the language at this point.
Resident Omega Red.
He's a bad guy.
Oh yeah, I'm just listening. Okay,
Mark. Omega Red's a bad guy.
I'm just listening off the list. Morningstar. Yeah, there's plenty of Russian characters within the DC universe.
Yeah, but heroes working for the Russian people.
Okay. Oh, that's way too specific. I can't think of one right now at the moment. That's a wee bit specific and probably also its own goddamn Google search. But, yeah, those are heroes in the Marvel universe. And some villains. Oh wait, Emil Blonsky, the abomination.
He's a bad guy. Come on now.
I know, but I just you know remember that. All right, give me a break. Excuse me.
Okay, let's see what story we want to go with.
you pick the next one. That's good soda.
Got Kirby Week coming up for New York. Jack the King Kirby.
All hail the King.
You know, he created most of the Marvel characters and a lot of DC characters that you know, Darkseid and so on like that, and
so
worked
on,
in
so
the business for decades, and worked, you know, did more work than most of these guys do today. I mean, he was drawing like several books a month. A lot of guys a day. Now, it shows in the style because, like, I can read an old Kirby book and it's cool, but if he was still drawing today, it would turn me off. Like, when I used to pick up a Kirby book from the late 70s, I didn't like the style at all. I thought it was just old looking at that point. So you haven't been keeping up with.
I mean, I'm excited about this, and yeah, Kirby's art style may not have flown as well today, but.
You don't keep up with Ultimate Spider-Man animated series, correct?
No, I don't. You know this.
Because you gave up on it, and I did tell you that it didn't prove.
Yeah.
Like, it's no longer as silly as it used to be. Well, now they're going, and so they've introduced a lot of characters like Iron Spider and Venom and and Cloak and Dagger and a lot of characters, you know, even Squirrel Girl. So now they're gonna have Spider Gwen show up on the series.
Spider Gwen. I have no idea.
Spider Gwen, of course, is the alternate version where instead of Peter Parker being bit and becoming Spider Man, Gwen Stacy got bit and she became a Spider Woman. And Peter Parker, didn't he become a villain at some point?
Yeah.
And now she's on the main Marvel Universe because of the events of Civil War, Secret Wars.
Yes.
So
apparently, before part conclusion to this current Sinister Six storyline, will be the return to the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, they did a Spider-Verse series where Spider-Man was hopping through different dimensions, chasing his version of the Green Goblin, and he came across like Spider-Man Noir, and he came across Miles Morales, and he came across Spider-Knight and a bunch of other, you know, one realm he came across Spider-Ham. And then then they did a thing where all of them came together to help him out. And I would suggest you give it another look-see, because it has improved. I'm not telling you it's great, but it's a lot better. You might like it.
I gotta find time. That's my biggest issue. I gotta find time.
They've even introduced this clone.
Ben Reilly?
Yep.
I like Ben Reilly. By the way, Dove Cameron.
Oh, and you know Aunt May, she's super hot in this show, and she knows she knows Peter is Spider-Man.
Oh, well then that'll get fucking Stanley's boner going. Dove Cameron will be the one voicing Spider-Gwen.
Dove Cameron?
Dove Cameron.
Oh, Dove.
Yeah.
And who is she?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I only just heard about it.
Well, a new episode just came on this weekend, so.
Coco.
Yeah. I've been keeping up with the Avengers. I'm like 3 episodes behind, but. You know, the Ultron Revolution. It's been pretty solid. They've taken away some of the bugs of the early seasons. No longer do they stop the action to introduce somebody and give them a title card. It's just that person shows up and they go from there. But they. Last season had Ant-Man, because, of course, you know, he was the new person on the scene in the movies. But this season's no Ant-Man. It's just the standard team of the big three plus the Hulk and the Hulk, Hawkeye, Black Widow, and Falcon. And then the other characters show up whenever necessary. Like they had the Inhumans in a two-parter. You don't care, do you? Son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, where the symbol is.
You know, I can't talk comic books with you because you never want to listen to what I have to say.
I did. Okay, don't even go on that shit, man. Just because I'm not watching the show doesn't mean I don't care what you think about it. Like, don't ever assume that.
And we're talking about Spider-Man, so get to the controversy about. Spider-Man movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's get to that. This was arguably the biggest story while we were away. So Zendaya had been casted in Spider-Man Homecoming, but people were like, oh, we don't know who she's playing. Who should be playing? Oh, she's Mary Jane. No, she can't be Mary Jane. They said she was someone else. Oh, at Comic-Con. Yeah, she's Mary goddamn Jane Watson. Zendaya is Mary Jane Watson, and she happens to be black.
No, okay. She's mixed, right?
Yeah, biracial.
Yeah, biracial.
but has a, yeah. And it's like, oh, okay, that's fine. Guess where it's not fine, apparently? The goddamn internet. Okay. So, this has, of course, led to another outrage.
Well, it's funny. They have not cast people in the female roles that you would think would belong in that role. Like, the original Mary Jane. She would probably been better playing Gwen Stacy. But because Gwen Stacy is basically dead, and Mary Jane's the one that's been around for the decades, they made a Mary Jane. And then they decided, let's reboot, and this time let's bring in Gwen Stacy. But let's get somebody who's red hair and make them a blonde.
Yeah.
And they got somebody that was blonde and made them a redhead. Now, just because she's playing Mary Jane doesn't mean there's going to be some kind of relationship going on between these two characters. Like in the Spectacular Spider-Man, they never got into a relationship. It was just, yeah, you cool. My aunt knows your aunt. We can be friends. We can be cool. We can be close. And they never dated. So, I mean, if you don't want to see this woman date Peter Parker, it might not happen.
People,
it might happen.
It's 20 goddamn 16. Get the fuck over it. Oh my god, you fucking troglodytes. Get the fuck over it. Okay, here's the thing. Unless, like, being Caucasian was, like, truly deep to the mythology and important to the character Mary Jane Watson, sure, you maybe have a reason to be upset, but even then, it'd be like, that's fine. Okay. Here's the thing. I've never heard of Zendaya before, even when she was kind of like,
this is a Disney star, right?
Well, yeah, Disney star, singer, apparently pretty good. I had a friend of mine send me a couple of her songs. I haven't listened yet, but I don't know. Maybe I'll try and find some time for that. I'm okay with this. All I care about, can she accurately portray what, you know, the Mary Jane Watson character? If she can do that, thumbs up. She's great. Kick ass. Awesome. I don't care what the fuck her race is, okay? All I care about, she's a good actress, captivates me, and
Jordan,
convinces me she's this character.
You don't believe that this is a plot, a liberal plot?
Of the liberal mainstream
to
media?
To destroy the white race?
Hey, Surfer, why don't we save this for our next Illuminati meeting, okay?
Oh, I didn't get invited to Illuminati, so...
Oh. Okay, wait around my bed, though.
No, I'm just saying, if you belong to that organization, you know, I haven't been invited yet.
Well, with the Illuminati, no, they're not real. Shut up.
Yeah, they are. Jay-Z's a part of it.
So is Kim Kardashian, apparently. But, yeah, people just... people are getting in such a fucking hissy now about black people and anybody other than being white being cast in a role that's been predominantly white. And again,
well, they don't always complain when the villain is made black, but
oh yeah, there's that too.
I mean, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But well, let's see. Flash Gordon is being played by a Mexican.
Yeah,
Mexican American. I think he's Mexican American.
More
even
less.
Though he looks Indian, he is Mexican.
Yeah.
Danny Glover's character. I think he's supposed to be rumored playing one of the
Donald Glover, not Danny.
Donald Glover.
Glover.
Yeah, he's supposed to be playing one of the what
teachers.
Is it? Huh?
Well, he's one of the what? I said teachers.
I didn't hear that one. What's the name of those? I heard he's supposed to be like the Shocker.
Herman Saltz.
Yeah. What are they? What group is he with?
The Sinister Set.
No. The one
Superior
with
Foes.
No. The one with the other two guys. That before he became the Shocker.
Oh, Ox in Montana.
Yeah, what is it? What are they? What were they called?
I forgot. I don't even think they had a team name.
You're not doing your job.
I don't think they. No, I don't remember them having a team name.
Yeah, they did. Especially in Spectacular Spider-Man, he did.
Oh, the Spectacular Spider-Man. I thought we were going like full like comics. I don't even remember them having a group name there.
Because, you know, they got hired before he became the Shocker. They got hired. And they had a name. And then, of course, Spider-Man kicked their ass and they went to jail. And then Shocker got broken out and then he was given the Shocker uniform. And then later, Ox and Fancy Dan was given their uniforms and...
Ricochet. No, yeah, yeah. Ricochet.
No, Ricochet is the single name, but...
Enforcers. They were the Enforcers. Yeah, the
Enforcers. Yeah, okay. But, you know, all will be revealed.
Yeah, no, yeah. We both know plenty and yet nothing about Spider-Man Homecoming.
Other than the fact that he's... a snot-nosed high schooler.
And I'm kind of liking that.
You got a milf for aunt.
Yeah. Speaking of people being morons about race within Marvel Comics, let's go back to Riri Williams, the upcoming Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a 15-year-old black girl is gonna take over Tony Stark's role. I just like to say that soon, so everyone name that's still Ironheart. Offended by that can blow their, you know, can
see
their
people. Head it's not blood. About it's not about whether or not when they decide like we're going to temporary. There's always a temporary replacement. Like Tony Stark is not going nowhere permanently. So they bring in a new character. Now I understand. I understand the argument. You know, why don't they create new characters of ethnicity.
New heroes.
Right. And at the same time, okay, one of the best stories out there right now is Thor. And that's the female Thor. That book kicks all kinds of ass because the writer is doing a fantastic job in telling a compelling story about someone who, about a person having to be Jane Foster, who, you know, she was recently diagnosed with cancer and she's dying, but she was found worthy enough to take the hammer and she turns into Thor. And as Thor, she's sometimes better than the original Thor, what she can do with that hammer. And she's with toe-to-toe with Odin. Even the male Thor has never been able to do that. Like, he's fought his father and got his ass kicked, like, many times. And it's part of his mental block, because, you know, as a Asgardian, he's always going to believe that no one can beat the Allfather. But this particular Thor doesn't have these preconceived myths to believe in. So therefore, fuck Odin. If I got to fight him, I'll fight him.
And here's the thing. Legacy heroes have been a long-standing concept in fucking superhero comics. We know it's there. We've seen it happen.
And then, okay...
What is so hard to accept about someone else taking over a mantle? It's because it's not, you know, one of the supporting characters, like a former sidekick or some shit. Fuck off.
So, before Thor lost the ability to carry his own hammer, you know, Jason Aaron wrote some... He was writing some villains that was giving Thor a hard time. So when this new Thor comes along, he's able to transition those villains in, and she's able to step in and take them on. And it's still read as one story. And he's had to stop the book with her for Secret Wars. And then came back with a bang when that book restarted. You know, her dealing with Odin, now she even fucking got to deal with S.H.I.E.L.D. because they think they have the right to the hammer. And it's like, they're investigating Jane Foster, because they don't know who this female Thor is, and they think they have the right to know who her secret identity is. And they think they've tied it to the fact that Jane Foster is Thor, which she is, but they don't have no proof. And they think that her cancer that she's dying from, that she's faking it.
Okay, good. Yeah, people, again, legacies. This is, it's a concept. We know this. We even knew it before superhero comics. For fuck's sake. A different person will take on the mantle. What is so, okay.
Hold on.
What is so hard to accept? That it, so, the thing about superheroes, people, I'm on a roll here right now. The thing about superheroes and heroes in general is that they inspire. Batman can inspire a small Mexican girl to truly be a great hero, to be a good person. Fucking Spider-Man can absolutely mean the world to a fucking Native American teenager. And, hey, big goddamn shock, but Black Panther might actually mean something deeply to a white teenager and be a great source of inspiration.
You know,
such.
Nicolas Cage took his name because he was a fan of Luke Cage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, again, Black Panther might inspire, like, fucking white teenagers to, you know, help out, be a good person and such. That's the thing about superheroes. Regardless of fucking race and or gender.
Okay.
Hey,
I'm
going to
stop
what?
You from your rant.
No.
The reason why.
Hold on.
Okay, I have to stop it because we don't want to get too far. We are, you know, we've been on the air for a while.
Okay.
But listen, I'll stop. Just take a breath. I want to know what was you going to say about this new 15-year-old Iron person?
Okay.
You never got to that story.
Yeah, I'll get to it. By the way, Wonder Woman can inspire a little boy. I just wanted to get that out. Fuck you people. Fuck you idiots that are getting so pissy about this. And yes, I'm knowing you're the Iron Man now. She's going to be called... Riri Williams will no longer be called Iron Man, it seems. She'll be called Ironheart. Apparently, Brian Michael Bendis revealed this, creator of the character and writer of the upcoming Invincible Iron Man.
So she's going to be an Iron Man, like, and then
yeah.
Doom's going to be an Iron Man.
Yeah.
And is Tony Stark going to be an Iron Man too, or is just going to be Tony Stark?
Here's the thing. Well, again, okay. Joe Quesada came, they were thinking of ways of, they were thinking of possible new names, and apparently... Bendis and Joe Quesada were amongst a group of editors, and Quesada came up with Ironheart. So Riri Williams will now be Ironheart and Invincible Iron Man. And Tony Stark, he won't be Iron Man, but he's not going away. The AI, the artificial intelligence in Riri's Ironheart armor, will be based on Tony Stark.
Okay.
Yeah, so... He's going to be around. He's still sticking around. You just can't get rid of Tony Stark.
Basically, right now, technically, she's taking Rhodey's place. It's Rhodey's dead.
Yeah. You can't get rid of Tony Stark. Just like you can't get rid of these fucking idiots that are outraged by this sort of thing. Grow up, you idiots. Sorry. Had to get that out of my system. You know what? Let's...
Excuse me.
All right, let's go wider. So, Taika Waititi is directing Thor Ragnarok, and part of the reason he got that job was the amazingly funny and really goddamn great mockumentary "What We Do in the Shadows." By the way, if you haven't seen it, I still really recommend it. It's great. And so, at the Marvel Studios panel in Hall H this year, Waititi shot a small mockumentary on the set of Thor Ragnarok of what Thor was doing during Captain America Civil War. It was only shown to the audience, but now it's online.
Yeah, how nice.
It's online. Marvel Studios has it up on their Twitter page, also most likely YouTube, Facebook as well, and it'll be included on the upcoming Blu-ray and digital release of Captain America: Civil War. So you can check this out, have, you know, kill some time, have a good laugh. It's great. Uh-oh. I've watched it. What is really this? Funny.
What's this story? Could Arrow's Deadshot actor be playing Valiant's Ninjak?
I did not hear something about that.
I just saw it just now.
Okay.
I didn't know they was in talk of doing a Ninjak series.
Neither did I. Oh.
Maybe we'll cover it next week.
Yeah, we'll get, yeah. We'll let that stew for a bit. All right, so, hey.
At least he's working. I mean, yeah. He lost his job on Arrow, so.
Yeah, can't get enough Batman, don't worry. There'll be more Batman. Sean Murphy's doing a new Batman book. Yeah, the artist of The Wake and the current Tokyo Ghost is going to, and the writer and artist of Punk Rock Jesus.
Hey, DC, I think they make a mistake when they decide, let's put out another Batman book and another Batman book.
You know, I agree.
Instead of, you know, getting your other characters to the people care enough to want to buy them.
No, I fully agree. And as much as I'm loving All-Star Batman and the
Batman got
book,
77 years of history.
And Detective Comics, I am like, let's chill it on the Batman right now. But yeah, Murphy signed a 2-year exclusive with DC. He's still going to do work on Image books and such. He's doing an Elseworlds Batman series, miniseries of sorts. And he talked about, he's out to prove himself as a writer and artist, much like, previous people had done with Batman, such as Frank Miller, Paul Poe, Mike Mignola. Why did I fuck that up? Bill Watterson. It's a miniseries, and one of the things this book is covering is Donald Trump. Apparently, in an interview, Murphy said, "My Batman is about modern politics, diversity, how to run a society, and the power of a celebrity around a Donald Trump type phenomenon. If Miller was reacting to Reagan, then I'll react to Trump." Which actually makes sense, given that he has said the inspiration out of Punk Rock Jesus was the thought of Sarah Palin when she was announced as John McCain's VP back in the 2008 election. And, you know, once more came out, he was like, this woman's going to possibly get our access to our nuclear weapons, our big, massive, fuck this. That book was a response to that, and sort of his political feelings, and also a look at society as well. Now, I've heard great things about Punk Rock Jesus. I want to read that. And hearing that, being like, fuck you, Palin, alright, yeah, okay. Again, I'm trying my best not to do politics on this show. Sometimes it'll falter, but this actually sounds pretty good. I'm a big fan of Sean Murphy. I think he's a great artist. I think he's a pretty damn good writer. And I hope this book really works out for him. What do you think? You gonna read it?
I don't know. Can't be honest, I don't know yet.
Okay.
I want to talk about some bad news.
Okay.
And we all love Marvel films to different degrees. And, you know, the different actors they've signed had, you know, contracts to do an infinite amount of films, you know. And one of them, of course, was Chris Evans. You know, he only had a deal to do a certain amount, and he kind of wanted to get out of acting. Well, we may have seen the last of him as Captain America in Civil War. Spoiler alert, people, if you are waiting to see it on DVD, so you can step away for a second so you don't know what happens. At the end of the film, Cap drops his shield and walks away from it. And that was an indication that he's no longer going to be Captain America because he, I guess his beliefs are shaken. But, yeah, he's still going to be involved in Infinity War. He just won't be Captain America. So, is he going to be Nomad or is he just going to be Chris Evans in a regular jogging suit or something? What do you think?
I don't know what to think. Captain, I mean...
And, of course, these actors, they can't do these roles forever. You know, they got to transition them out. In order to probably bring in new actors to play, like, at some point, you're going to have to get over the fact that Robert Downey Jr. can't play Iron Man. They're going to want to continue Iron Man at some point, and they're going to need a new actor to play him. But, you know, until they get to the end of Phase 3, getting the actors you have down, then they'll transition out. And, of course, Marvel will bring in other characters.
I mean, I wasn't expecting it this soon, I guess I should say. This soon, but I think it could make sense. I think it does make a bit of sense. For that regard. Okay, yeah, I can get that. I'll be curious to see where they go. If they even want to do Nomad, that'll...
Well, at some point, if he's in Infinity War and he's taking on Thanos, at some point you got to pick the shield back up.
Yeah, you really do. Can't sit on the sidelines, man. Got to get up and get at it.
Anyway, so Hail Hydra, and
Hail Hydra, yes.
So, what's the deal? Have you been keeping up with Captain America in this whole Hydra storyline? Like,
I read the first two issues.
Is it a rouge or what?
It was a rouge. It was we talked about this. It was mind control. It was planted memories.
Oh, so okay. So he was.
Yeah, we talked about this. It was planted memories.
I don't remember talking about the planet memories, which is, you might have been talking to somebody else, but okay.
I don't know if I was here with you talking about it. Pretty damn sure.
Let's do two, maybe three stories. Let's do the mutants, the Rogue, and the Deadpool.
What stories do you want to wrap up? Okay, well, I know one I wanted to get to.
We're getting a Pokemon live action.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to do the story, but I'm just mentioning it.
Not the one I was going to, but sure, let's do that.
I'm just mentioning it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they've been trying to do Pokemon now for...
Well, yeah, but they got writers now. They got writers from Guardians of the Galaxy.
And Gravity
Nicole
Falls.
Perlman, also upcoming writer of...
You know what?
And the creator of Gravity Falls, Alex Hirsch, to write the Pokemon.
This may be a controversial statement I'm about to make.
Okay.
But if Ash Ketchum isn't Asian, I'm not going to be happy.
Okay.
That's just another whitewashing of the character. And you listen, you can debate whether the different characters are meant to be Asian or not. And I think a lot of the Pokemon characters don't look particularly Asian. But Ash is definitely Asian. His mother's not. That's kind of a strange dichotomy. But...
How is that a strange dichotomy?
Well, we never met his father. I mean, I guess he could be biracial.
Okay.
But if he's not biracial, then, you know, his mother being Caucasian, he's being Asian, kind of looks funny. But it is a fictional make-believe world, so who cares, right? But if you're going to do the original three, this is just the way I'm thinking, okay? So you make Ash Asian, and then you make Misty Caucasian, and then you make Brock Black. And then James is Asian, Jesse's not. Oak, Professor Oak is not Asian. Gary is Asian. Do I sound crazy or what?
No, you don't.
You know, Jenny's not. Joy's not. What other early characters were there?
While you figure about that, I want to move on to the next story.
No. The world stops when I'm thinking about something. All right, let's get to the next story. Go ahead. Just take away my fun.
Image Comics is moving.
You wanted to talk about that too. Yeah, okay.
You could say it's getting a new image if you wanted to.
Yeah,
I regret nothing.
Moving. Where are they moving to?
Okay. So, San Diego and a bit more. Well, Berkeley. Berkeley is Berkeley. Berkeley, California is where they are located at, but it seems they're heading on up to Portland, Oregon.
Well, believe it or not, a lot of creators live up in that area. See, this is like, you know, back in the day, everybody worked out of New York.
Yeah.
Marvel, DC, they had their offices in New York. Everybody went into a office, and all the artists sat next to each other at drawing desks, and the writers was at desks, and they banged out their work. But now we're in the digital age. So the artist and the writer and the colorist, they really don't have to be next to each other. The writer can bang out a script, email it to the artist. The artist can do the images, scan them in, send them over to whoever needs to approve them. No, well, they need, you know, you need to approve the images first. And then, you know, if they're doing an inking job, then the inker gets it. Because a lot of times you can skip the inking process with the digital artistry when they put the color in. So the colorist gets it, and, you know, that's definitely all digital. So a lot of creators live out in the West Coast, which is why DC moved their studios from New York to California, because their bosses, you know, DeDito and Lee and all of them, they was living out on the West Coast, and they got tired of traveling back and forth. They just said, y'all got to come here. So, and people like Bendis, you know, they live up there in Portland. And
Fraction, Connick, their kids, and Joshua Williamson as well.
Okay. And then, and then everybody else lives wherever they live. I mean, I run into quite a few creators that live in this city. And J.G. Jones live in this area.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've you know, run into him, talked to him, you know, interviewed him. So, he frequents the comic book store I go to.
That's cool. Wish I had something like that. But, yeah, this, apparently, Image had moved to Oakland when Eric Larson, until 2008. They were also in Anaheim and such. They've mostly been, you know, yeah, focused.
Now, who runs Image at this point?
It's Kirkman.
Kirkman?
Yeah.
And, like, none of the original guys are part of Image?
I'm not too sure, but look, there are other head people aside from Kirkman. But let's face it, he's more or less kind of running the show there while they are still giving free reigns to the...
Is McFarlane still part of Image?
I believe he... Okay, hold on.
Because we know Lee's not.
Right.
And then Liefeld got kicked out.
Look this shit out. It's going to drive me crazy. Okay, let's see. Robert Kirkman, Chief Operating Officer. Eric Larson, Chief Financial Officer.
He was one of the original...
Todd McFarlane, President.
Okay, Larson was one of the original... people that
McFarlane is still president.
All right, so yeah.
And again, Kirkman right now is the COO.
He does have the most popular book, right?
Well, two, Invincible. Mark Silvestri.
One of the originals.
Jim Valentino.
One of the originals.
Eric Stephenson.
Not one of the
Stevenson.
Originals.
Stevenson.
Not one of the originals.
Okay, look. Some of the originals are still there.
Okay, just, you know, checking, making sure.
Some of the originals are still there. I had to pull out my Nail Biter Murder Edition to look that up. By the way, get the Nail Biter Murder Edition. It's the best goddamn book being published right now. So, but yeah, Chris Roberson, yeah, he's on, a lot of the comic creators seem to have been making a big move to Portland. Apparently, there's a big contingency, a lot of people heading towards Portland. Maybe it's a hip-hopping thing now. But apparently, word is, it hasn't been, quite officially confirmed yet, but, yeah, it seems like they could be making the move to Portland as well. And also, in Portland, I believe, is where Boom Studios is, or Oni Press.
Mm-hmm.
So, friendly competition. Hooray. Wait. Boom Studios is headquartered in Los Angeles. Let's see, Oni Press. Yeah, they're the ones in Portland as well.
Okay.
Oni Press. Well, that'll be interesting. That should be intriguing. Deadpool's getting a symbiote because, hey, why the fuck not? Because
it's Deadpool.
Yeah.
And Deadpool has to do everything that everybody else does.
Hey, did you make a fresh fruit smoothie? Deadpool's going to do that too because he needs to. Because he's Deadpool. Deadpool, Back in Black, which, surprise, surprise, will be written by Cullen Bunn. I'm cool with that.
Of course, that is the title of a Spider-Man storyline when
Deadpool
he put in after Civil War and
Salvador,
he no longer had the Iron Spider-Man suit and he put on the black suit.
Yep, Salvador Espin will be the artist, and the art does look pretty damn good. Two issues have been solicited, but no word as of yet when it's coming out. I expect sometime in the fall.
At this point, who hasn't been a symbiote?
Colossus?
Even in the Ultimate Spider-Man, they just did a 2-3-parter. Well, all of New York became symbiotes, including the Hulk. You know how scary that is to have a Hulk as a symbiote?
Yeah, it's goddamn terrifying.
And they've done that in the comic books where all New York...
It'd be a horrific nightmare.
...became a symbiote because Doom had a satellite and it broke open and symbiotes rained down New York. Manhattan... And everybody started to become symbionts. Which kind of takes away from what the symbionts are when you do storylines where everybody's a symbiont and you got to get rid of it. Because it shouldn't be that easy to get rid of a whole city full of symbionts. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And tell me about the New Mutant lineup.
Is that where you want to end this on?
No, we're going to do Rogue, too.
All right, those the last two?
Maybe. I mean, we got... How many is left? Three.
You know what? Never mind.
Go ahead. Just do those two.
Okay. The lineup for the New Mutants movie. It was thought about a lot while ago. It was rumored about that came out via Scott Neustander's Instagram post. But it's confirmed now. Yes. And the New Mutants will definitely be Danielle Moonstar, Wolfsbane, Sunspot, Cannonball, and Magic. The OG lineup is definitely in there. I'm kind of excited about that. That'd be fun.
Maybe. I mean, you know, they've been talking about New Mutants now forever. And
I like New Mutants. It's good. And yeah, speaking of the Rogues, apparently the Rogues might be the villains of the Flash movie.
Who else you going to have but his rogue gallery? People from his rogue gallery. Well,
yeah, but I didn't expect them bunched together away.
Listen, here's the problem. It's the Flash. Most of the villains he take on, he beats them within a matter of moments. He's having fun at this point. I mean, that's why they're as a group, the Rogues, because they had to team up in order to give him half a problem.
And I just see the thing is, what's great about the Rogues is how they banded together.
They had no choice. They can't beat the man by himself.
Exactly. That's what I liked about the Rogues, but just bunching it.
Well, we'll see. I mean, what rogues they use.
I think it's a kind of stupid idea.
Yeah, you brought up Flash, so
it's blowing their wad.
We're not going to get deep in the story, but for the Flash TV show, Todd Lawson will be playing a rival in season 3 of the Flash. He's like the main villain, right? He's one of the main villains.
Well, yeah, he's like Jay Garrick's reverse Flash.
He's Jay Garrick's reverse Flash.
Yeah.
And then there's been pictures of, hold on, let me open this up real quick.
Violet B.
Violet B. as Jesse Quick.
Plays Jesse. She plays Jesse Wells. No, there haven't been pics, but apparently she has been spotted on
species,
set.
In a species, yes. Which we all been waiting for to see her as a speedster.
And she did get hit with the residual.
Yeah, but.
Speed Force.
Like, okay, so they had her and Wally get hit by the Speed Force. But this is the Flashpoint reality. So.
Tis true.
That might not be the reason why these people have Speed Force. Plus, she was injected with Velocity 9, so. And everybody, you know, thought that would give her speed powers, but. I guess the combination of her getting hit by the dark matter energy and the Velocity 9 and the fact that it's a different reality make her Jesse Quick.
Possibly. I think that could work. I really did like her. Okay, we have one last story, and this is the absolute last one. A Monolith movie is at the works at Lionsgate.
Most people don't know Monolith.
Yeah, I.
No. I'm not putting down the story, but explain it to them.
I don't even know what this is. This is the first I heard about it. I thought you'd explain it.
It's based on Jimmy Palamonte. Yeah, and Justin Palamonte. Gray. And, it's going to be directed by Dave Wilson, who directed Deadpool, right? No, Deadpool's down with Tim Miller. Will direct a script by Barrett.
Wilson is the creative director of the studio that did Deadpool.
Says in Monolith, we introduce Alice Cole, a down-out junkie who inherits a house of in Brooklyn from her deceased grandmother. Alice discovers her diary and begins to read the tale of lost love and revenge that begins in the factories of New York during the Depression. It shows the creation of a monster bent on revenge for the slaying of a good, honest man.
Yeah, apparently this was a 12-issue miniseries published from 04 to 05 at DC, and the rights have returned to Palamonte and Gray. I love Palamonte and Gray's work. I love their collaborations. This is the first I heard of it, so I'll see if I can find a copy, possibly try to read it. I'm a big fan of these creators, so I would expect some pretty good quality stuff.
Quality.
And that's it. That's the news.
Oh, man, I was hoping to get a call from some people today. We haven't had a... Well, no, that's not true. We had a call. But, you know, I like a call every week. I like to hear from someone.
It's not going to get... It's not going to happen every
other week. Than Jordan. Not that I don't like talking to you, Jordan, but... You know, I just want somebody to call in and talk comic books with me. And not sit there and say, I really don't like Gotham, when we know you do. But it's cool. You know, be in denial.
Well, you can fuck off, huh?
Now, you see, your attitude. Your attitude is why you have not gotten a promotion around here. So ship up.
All right, fine. I'll go ponder about my promotion as I go polish my Ranty Award.
See, that's your problem. You let that award go to your head. Anyway, you need a case of humility. But I'm going to let that slide for now and tell you about the fine programming here on Rant EM Radio.
Please do.
Well, we know what the best show is. It's the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. Because you wouldn't be listening to it. It's live every Sunday, 5 p.m. Yes, I'm tooting my own horn, people. But there's other fine shows here. Rant EM Radio. Come back on Tuesday, 8 p.m. for a live episode of The Rant with co-host Tony C. And did you know we got a new free agent host for the show, for The Rant? This is the hottest free agent signed to Rant EM Radio. Drew Anders has taken over the Rant this Tuesday, 8, so he's giving up the reins, and he found somebody he thinks is worthy enough to replace him, Drew Anders. So make sure you tune in and listen to the hot new talent, Drew Anders, here on Rant EM Radio. You know, that's listening and wish him well on his first show this Tuesday, 8 p.m. And then Wednesday, I believe, we're getting a live episode of Thumbstick Ninjas, Rob Domingo and the gang. That was at 8 or 9 o'clock. It doesn't matter. It's live this Wednesday. So, and it's not, if it's not live this Wednesday, you're getting a repeat. So you're still getting a quality programming. Thursday, 9 p.m., Rant and Wrestling. Mofo, Booty, Doomsday, and those cast of characters will come back to talk wrestling. And then on Friday, live, the show from the way back, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Phil Rayer, Kid Human, to learn you something about wrestling's old school and discuss the new wrestling too. Now, this Saturday, are you going to be busy Saturday night, Jordan? Jordan? Jordan Cobb? I lost Jordan?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm most likely...
Are you going to be busy Saturday?
Yes, most likely.
No, you need to... Whatever you're doing, you need to tune in to this network this Saturday at 7 p.m. for our live coverage of the Rant Fantasy Football League.
I cannot... I am
no,
not
no,
in
no.
Fantasy
it's mandatory. Football.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
The fuck it is.
Yes, it is. You have to tune in and listen. You got support. Look, forget your date, okay? You got to tune in. I'm trying to pay the bills. Stop interrupting me. So,
I'm going to
say No. Hush it. So this Saturday, we're going to be doing live coverage of the Rant Fantasy Football. 16 teams. Maybe we'll add a few more, but 16 teams is a lot. And so we'll give you the up to dates to who, what team draft, what players, and then you know you can follow the Rant League. If you don't have a team, you know I'll put some link up there so you can keep a close eye to the scores and the standings. And if you're not dead, Jordan, consequences and repercussions. Keep that in mind in the back of your head.
I'm only having to watch Gotham Season 3. What more could you do?
Listen, you I put the gauntlet down. Okay, so you make the decision whether or not this network is important to you or not. No. Don't argue with me on the air. Okay, we're not gonna put our dirty laundry out in the air. You just contemplate that, and I expect to see you in the chat room this Saturday, or consequences or repercussions.
Yeah,
keep it quiet. And then Saturday night at 11, wrestling call-in show with William Morgan and his cast of co-hosts, where they let you talk everything and anything to do with wrestling. Now, Jordan, you interrupted me during the bill paying, so I have to dock your pay.
You don't
because
pay
the bill paying. No, listen, the bill paying is what keeps us on the air. If I don't pay the bills, then we don't get to have a place to do our show. So that's important. And I know you understand that because, you know, you're a smart dude. That's why you helped me on the show. So, you know. And we got some other fine programming coming up here in the fall. And keep an eye out on that as we go into the fall season. And when's the holiday? We a week away from the holiday?
Labor Day.
Yeah, Labor Day.
I think so. I
Labor Day is the 5th, right?
I believe so. Yes, I really don't know.
Come on, how can you not know the last day of running out to the beach?
All right, fine. Labor Day, 2016. You couldn't look this shit up yourself.
What do I have you for?
Yes, it's September 5th.
What do I need you for if I gotta look things up myself? I'm just saying, you know.
I can't do everything. You need to pull your weight.
My weight is pulled. Okay, I keep this place. I keep this place running. Don't question what I'm doing. Just stay in your lane. Stop trying to come into mine. See, we argue on the air. You know that's unprofessional. Oh, Jordan Cobb. Ooh. You know what? I feel all I can take from you tonight. I want you to say goodbye to these people properly. Okay?
All right.
And then go in a corner and think about what you've said tonight.
I'll think about, yes, I will think about how I'm not going to be at the draft on Saturday.
Hey, if you're in that chat room supporting, consequences and repercussions.
So I'm supposed to just say, fuck my plans with my girlfriend?
Make sure your girlfriend listens too. Let me. What is this? I saw me getting a speakeasy in season 3. What does that
mean? I don't know. I don't know. We'll talk about it next week. So, until then, I'm Jordan Cobb. Thank you all for listening. Good night.
And I am the Surfer. Real quick. Kind of not related, but yeah, it was sad to see that Mr. Fuji passed away from wrestling, so they'll probably talk about it during the week on the different shows. So he was an icon in wrestling, and I think he did a couple of movies. But anyway, we thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. Until then, peace.